Thank you for listening to Clear Edge Marketing's The Edge podcast. This episode is brought to you by Clearly Rated. Clearly Rated is the only client and talent experience survey platform that is built specifically for staffing and recruiting firms. Their Best of Staffing program is the true symbol of quality in the recruiting industry, recognized by the American Staffing Association with more than a decade of supporting many of the top firms in the industry. We appreciate their support and shared dedication to creating a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workforce. Find the industry's top service providers and learn more at clearlyrated.com. On this episode of The Edge Podcast, Clear Edge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Christy Willis, Chief Sales Officer of the People Ready Division at workforce solutions company True Blue. Leslie and Christy discuss how being everything to everyone can make you a less effective leader, her philosophy of applying it and trying it, and how taking risks can help us find our voice and confidence. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of Clear Edge Marketing, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Christy Willis, the Chief Sales Officer with True Blue's People Ready Division, to the Edge podcast. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie.
Of course. Well, Christy, you have many accolades, including Staffing Industry Analyst Global Power 150 Women in Staffing List, and you actually got your start in staffing at Adia during college, where you finished school at night. So that in and of itself will be an interesting story to hear. You were quoted as saying, "There's no better job than putting people to work." You knew you were hooked. I have to tell you, Christy, you have one of my favorite career journey stories, and it's because you were your own champion and you have a wonderful story to tell about that. So let's go ahead and dive in. When you joined True Blue nearly 3 years ago, it was actually a newly created role. So before we talk about your career and the newly created role, tell us a little bit for those listening about True Blue, just for background.
Yeah, you bet. True Blue is a workforce solution company. It has three distinct companies. Our People Scout division does RPO and MSP. Our People Management division does on-sites and insourcing. And then People Ready, which is where I lead our sales department. We do on-demand and project business. And combined, we've placed nearly 500,000 people to work in 2020. So big company with a lot of different dynamics.
I've obviously known True Blue for a lot of years. I used to work with Patrick Burrell back in the day when we both were in the kind of interim Norrell merger. He came from Norrell. I came from interim to become Sphereon. So it's been really fun to watch not only his journey, but also that of True Blue with all of the different acquisitions and growth and so forth. So you're right. It is a very large company. That said, you talk a lot, Christy, about having an itch for sales. What was your journey to leading the sales organization for People Ready?
Yeah, you know, we always say that we fall into this industry, right? No one really sets out to go into staffing. And I would say that that was the case for me. I was young. I was going to college. I was working at nights as a catering assistant. And someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I think you'd be great for this industry." And so I started on the desk as a recruiter. And I fell in love with the industry. I think that there's so much value in what we get to do every day. And sometimes I think we take that for granted, right? Because we're dealing with, you know, 500,000 people going to work, but we're changing lives every day. I always felt very fortunate to be here. You're right. I definitely had an itch for sales. It's always been my passion. I finished my education while being a recruiter. And then after I graduated, I said, okay, can I do sales and get on the customer side? And after 20 years of P&L management, I now have the privilege to lead the sales organization and help People Ready's business transform. It's fun, a lot of fun.
It's interesting because I believe you may be the first person I've interviewed who actually started in recruiting during college. And working during the day, putting yourself through college, it's really a fantastic success story. And I have to talk to you about this because this fascinated me when we first met. Let's talk about the SVP role you applied for. and didn't get. What I love about the story, and this is something that I talk about a lot because it's super important, is that you were your own best champion. You took matters into your own hands. So you applied for the role, you didn't get it. You asked for time with the person hiring, put together a presentation to explain why you were the right fit, and then actually got the job. Talk about being really good at sales. You said, "No one should take no for an answer. It should be abundantly clear when you should." Would you mind walking us through this experience? What came over you to not take no for an answer?
Of course. You know, I have to say it was a pivotal moment in my career. No question to that. You know, I was an RVP. I had an opportunity to be an SVP. I interviewed, and then I was devastated when the CEO and the president said, "Well, Christy, you're not going to get the role this time. And we felt like you needed to move to Texas. And we felt like, you know, you need a little bit more time under your belt." And they gave me a lot of things I needed to work on. And I happened to be on a business trip and I couldn't sleep. I was really disappointed I didn't get the opportunity. And I was flipping through the TV channels and there was this motivational speaker. I swear it's like a movie, but it's the truth. There was this motivational speaker and he said, "Don't sit around and wait for things to come to you. If you want something, go after it and don't take no for an answer." And it was like this jolt of electricity hit me and I flew out of bed and I sat down and I wrote this long email. I said, I respect your decision. I disagree with it. And here's why. And I wrote them an email overcoming the objections that they had for the role. And I requested time to talk further about how I would do an effective job in the role. I didn't hear anything for 3 days, Leslie. It was, I was like freaking out a little bit. And then all of a sudden they set up a meeting and I remember what they said. They said, "Christy, if you can sell yourself like that, who are we to stand in your way? The job is yours." And it really changed the way I go about a lot in my life. Cause I think, you know, particularly as women, we're a little bit used to not questioning authority and to really trusting it. But I think it's okay to trust authority if you do it respectfully. And if you stand up for yourself more times than not, you will, you know, get what you need and what you want. So that was a really pivotal moment in my career.
Talk about watching for signs, having something like that on TV after you go through this. You got to watch, right? Pay attention and take action. And those 3 days would have been so painful waiting to hear back from them. But I also love your point about, you know, trusting authority and the process, but then also taking it into your own hands. And they were right. If you could sell them on that, what could you do? What would that potential be in the role? So just kudos for you for doing that. I love that story. And since you told me, I continue to tell that story to other people. And I know you're going to be speaking during an upcoming conference as well on the topic. So it's good for people to hear that and know that it's so important to be your own champion and not to wait for others to do it for you.
Well, thank you.
There are three girls, Christy, in your family, and you attribute a lot of your success to your upbringing, calling your mom and dad your greatest mentors. Tell us a little bit about what they instilled in you at such a young age and how you now carry that forward with your own children.
Yeah, I have amazing parents and I have been so blessed by them. And I'll tell you, they've been married for over 60 years. I'm the baby of the family and they still act like newlyweds and their parents do, all of our friends. They're just amazing people. So it's pretty special. But life wasn't always easy for them. They lost my brother when he was 2.5 years old from spinal meningitis. And obviously losing a child devastated them. But the thing that when you ask them, "What did you do? You were so devastated," both of them will tell you they just kept going. And so they really raised us three girls to reach for the stars and go after our dreams, but they would not let us give up. When we made a commitment, we kept it. And so when I really think about what they instilled in me, the word resilience always comes to mind. And certainly that's what I've tried to carry forward with my children. They don't always love it, I'll tell you that. You know, a recent example was just this weekend when my daughter had a lacrosse game and she didn't feel like going because it was kind of rainy out and I forced her to go. But then she had the game of her life and she came running up to me afterwards and she said, "Thanks, Mom, for making me push forward and push through because it was such a fun time." And so I think, again, you don't always appreciate it, but at the end of the day, if you're resilient, that will carry you a long way.
Oh, wow. What a story about your parents too. I can't imagine the devastating effect of losing a child, a 2-year-old. I'm sorry to hear about the loss, Christy, and their advice that they just kept going. I have seen families lose children, and it's really hard to do that. So the fact that they were able to be so resilient and teach that to you at a young age and throughout your childhood and now paying that forward with your own children is pretty incredible. So the main message there is just the commitment and the resilience. What about mentors in our own industry? Anyone in particular stand out who helped you throughout the years?
When I thought about this question, I have to tell you, three people really come to mind. Joyce Russell, obviously, is an icon in this industry, and I had the privilege of working with her very early in my career. She really helped me realize I could do it all, that I could be a good wife and a good mom and still excel as an executive. And I'm always going to be grateful to her for the opportunities she allowed me to achieve. I also think of Ray Rowe, who's also an icon, and he's a legend in this business. He was so tough. He was a brigadier general, soft heart, but he knew how to lead people. And so he taught me to have thicker skin and to have a balanced view of business scenarios. So I'm very grateful to him. And then now, you know, I think we all need mentors in our life. And I think of Taryn. I mean, she really is an amazing leader who always does the right thing and as a result runs an amazing business. So I've been very fortunate to have some amazing mentors in my own life.
That's quite a list. Joyce Russell, Ray Rowe, Taryn Owen. She actually was on our podcast as well. It was really great to get to know her, as was Joyce. And you're right, she is a legend in our space. In fact, I was talking to Joyce and I started thinking about it. Her legacy within our industry, and you would be included in that legacy, is how many women she has led over the years who are now in that executive suite position, the C-suite and so forth within our industry. I want to say she's probably put more in those roles or helped lead them to those roles than any other leader in our industry's time since we've been in it. So how fortunate and blessed you are to have been part of the Joyce Russell legacy, as well as all of the others. I know, Christine, mentorship is really important to you, and you mentor others and believe very deeply in paying it forward. What is a common thread that you see in the women you mentor? And what advice do you have for those up-and-comers who would love to have someone like you as a mentor, but they're not sure how to go about it?
A common thread that I see as women is we always try to be all things to all people. And I think after a while, it gets exhausting, because when we're trying to be all things to all people, we can never really be as effective as we want to be. My advice is always to try to be as present as you can in what you're doing. I remember early on, it was my anniversary, and my husband planned this amazing anniversary trip to Napa. We were having fun, but yet I kept leaving and stepping outside and taking a call for business or calling a customer and saying I had to run to the restroom, and he knew what I was doing, right? But I thought I was pulling it off. And then also my people knew what I was doing, because I was kind of annoyed that I was having to talk to them and I was being a little bit short in what I was asking them to do. And then I kid you not, Leslie, there was this sign in the restroom. It literally had a light on it and it read, "This bright new day, complete with 24 hours of opportunities, choices, and attitudes, a perfectly matched set of 1,440 minutes. This unique gift, this one day, cannot be exchanged, replaced, or refunded. Handle with care. Make the most of it. There's only one to a customer." And I thought to myself, you know what? I need to be present. My husband's not happy because I'm not giving him my attention. My people aren't happy because they might not think I trust them. And they might also think, hey, is this the expectation when I take a day off? And so at the end of the day, I always tell people, whatever you're doing, try to be present. Make the most of your day. There's only one to a customer. And so we have to make the most of it and make the greatest impact in each of the scenarios we're dealing with.
Well, talk about another sign. You're full of You're very fortunate for that, though. A lot of people go through life without seeing what's right in front of them. And the fact that you see it and take action, and now you're here to share it with us, is really something special. So thank you for that. And you're right, you have to be present in all that you do. And that's great advice that I'll carry forward. I was just asked by a mentee for different pieces of advice that I've heard, and that's a really great one to carry forward. Christy, on the topic of family, you shared with me the story about your daughter, and I absolutely love this and was bringing myself to tears just thinking about this whole experience that you went through. She said, "Mom, I have to tell you, I want to grow up and be just like you. The way you're so patient, the way you talk to people, I'm so proud. I got to tell everyone that my mom is the biggest boss of them all." And I love it. Biggest boss of them all. I mean, how did you react when she said this to you? What was your reaction?
Oh, it just thrilled me. She's so cute. And obviously she thinks I'm the best thing ever. And how can you ask for more than that, right? Very special bond.
You know, we worry. I mean, I think we all worry a little bit with all of the work we do and the choices we make in our lives, how it'll impact our children or what they're thinking. So to get that validation and recognition from her, I can only imagine how that must have made you feel. That said, you, Christy, like I, waited until later in your career to start a family. And you talked to me a little bit about how you thought it would be looked at negatively. Yet some of your greatest mentors, we already talked about Joyce, also had kids. So reflecting back on it now, what advice would you have for your early career self, I guess, as it relates to starting a family and thinking perhaps of those who are considering as well may benefit from hearing your view?
When I think about what I would have told my earlier self, I would have said, don't let anyone define your guardrails. You know, I actually had a boss tell me that children were germ balls and freedom busters. So I was deathly afraid to let that boss know that I was actually expecting. But I would have done it differently. I wouldn't have let anyone define those guardrails. And I would say, if you want children, your life will be sweeter. And if you don't, that's okay too. But don't let anybody tell you that your career cannot be tremendously successful if you choose to have children. For me, I wish I wouldn't have waited so long, although I think in many respects, it was probably a good thing because I got to experience a lot. But again, guardrails, you define those when it comes to your family.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. What's right for you and your family isn't necessarily going to be what's right for anyone else. And the same is true when looking at others or listening to others, just because they have their own biases or beliefs, it doesn't mean that that needs to become yours. I often think about what would I have done differently. And similarly, I do wish that we could have had children earlier, just so I could have had even more. That said, I'm very happy and blessed to have even had the opportunity to have one, our son Grayson, and, you know, didn't think it would happen. And I would have not known any different. I would have been perfectly happy that way, or, you know, now just thrilled to even have the opportunity to be a mom.
Absolutely.
Christy, you have a huge role. You also have a strong support system that allows you to not feel like you're sacrificing family or work. With so many women still playing traditional roles in the pandemic, hugely taking a toll on women in the workforce, some saying setting us back for generations and generations. How have you created this system, and what can other women take away from your own experience?
I am incredibly fortunate. I have a wonderful husband that I'm sharing this family journey with, and he's a rock and he owns his own company and has a great career, but yet we made a decision early on that he would be that mainstay for our children. So, you know, the baseball games and the drama rehearsals and coaching, and he just does all of that extraordinarily well. And that helps me really be able to have that quality time as a family when we're all together. And I cherish that. But you're right. It is a lot harder now, especially with the pandemic and us women having to wear multiple hats. It's putting a strain on how moms are doing their jobs and being a mom. So the best advice I can give is really looking at my sister, who is an executive and also a single mom. We always talk about having that structure and building that structure around you. It takes a village, so to speak, to raise a family. So she has the most amazing friend group in addition to us as family that she's kind of shared that mom journey with. They help each other out and it works. So even through this pandemic, we can leverage our relationships. I know a lot of moms that are actually taking turns on helping kids with school and homework so that other moms can spend time actually being able to get their work done. So at the end of the day, I would say leveraging those relationships to ensure our children are well taken care of, but also allowing you the opportunity to pursue your career.
I love that they are helping each other and their kids with homework and other things to make it work. in some cases, seems like we're afraid to ask for help when it's okay to ask for help. It's better than okay. It can save you and alleviate things and present opportunities for others who are looking to help people more as well. It's interesting on the husband front, this was something that we went back and kind of researched some common themes and different things on our podcast. And not that your husband isn't working, he is working, but a lot of the times within our episodes here, we have found that a lot of the men are actually not working, that they made a choice that they would take care of the family and be there as that support system for them. And it just seems like the more we can publicly talk about that and make it not seem unusual, that it's more common, that maybe the stereotypical roles or traditional roles that we think of will start to change as well. So I would just encourage anyone listening, if your family is in that position, not to be afraid to talk about it and to break down those walls and those barriers. There's a lot of amazing dads out there really helping the kids and the significant others and partners. So thank you for sharing that.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's a great point.
So you mentioned, Christy, that your dad was teaching you that you always have to ask for what you want. And finding your voice to feel confident to ask is another story. So ask for what you want, but having the voice and the confidence to do that, two totally different things. Both topics come up a lot on our podcast. So let's talk about your saying, Christy, applying it and trying it. The more you apply and try, the more confident you'll become. So maybe you can share an example of where this was true for you to gain confidence.
I believe that scrappiness has its place, not always, right? But scrappiness in leadership means you're taking risk and putting yourself out there. And when you take those risks and you put yourself out there, that's where confidence comes from. And sometimes it's going to work, right? And sometimes it's not, but I think we learn from our mistakes. And when we make decisions that in hindsight, we would have probably done a little bit differently. That's really where my philosophy of applying it and trying it came from. When I look at my career, most career accelerations happen when there's something chaotic to fix, right? Not when things are running at an optimum and you just step in. And so it's in those opportunities that I really think we find our voice and our confidence because we're forced to take risk. I found that there's never a perfect moment or a perfect analysis or a perfect strategy for anything. And sometimes you just have to rely on your instincts. And I always tell people, don't let perfection stand in the way of progress. Act, try something, apply it. But then know, I guess this should be the third component to that phrase, is be agile enough to course correct quickly when you need to.
That's a great point. There's a Dolly Parton, not exact quote that I'm going to share, which is not to let fear get in the way of something that you really want to do. So even if she's afraid or nervous or not feeling confident, she knows that end outcome is going to be greater. And that helps her kind of let go of that fear a little bit. So you have to try things and, you know, you learn from them and you grow from them. And that's the best that we can do.
Absolutely. Love that phrase.
Christy, we are almost out of time. So I'm going to end our conversation with a couple of rapid fire questions here for you. That said, in fairness, some of these are not things that typically you could answer really quickly, but we'll try our best. So here's the first one. Turning point that changed your life forever.
I'm going to have to go rely back on becoming a mom and realizing that it's not all about me anymore.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Another little person or grown up person in your case. Okay. Best piece of advice you ever received.
You are the they.
Oh, I like that. You are the they.
Yep. Own it.
One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
I was a pretty serious flautist and I almost went to Juilliard School of Music.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal.
That is, yes. I was really a young senior and had an opportunity, but made a decision to go to business school instead. So no regrets, but often sometimes wonder. My kids always say I should pick it up again, maybe one of these days.
I was just going to ask you, do you still play?
Not well.
So it's not like riding a bike.
In other words.
No. Well, Christy, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your story and such great advice. I truly appreciate it and look forward to hearing your voice more often within our industry as you continue to give back to the up-and-comers and rising stars to help share your journey and they can learn from you as well. So you've given us a lot to think about. If someone listening to the podcast would like to connect with you, what is your preferred method of outreach?
Probably the best way is email at kwillis@peopleready.com.
Excellent. Christy, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Leslie. It's been an honor.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.